Mind this. All right, it's a blessing to be here tonight at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. I want to thank Pastor Roger Jimenez and, of course, Verity Baptist Church for putting this together. This conference holds a special place in my heart just because a couple years ago I made some good decisions based off of the preaching from the men who come behind this pulpit, and it really changed my direction in life because of it. So obviously we understand that the preaching is not in vain, it's profitable, but you just never know who's listening, not just here, but you know, out and abroad, and therefore the preaching obviously is important. And I want to thank FWBC LA. I know some of they're scattered here. My LAians. I didn't say illegal aliens, right? I know we're from LA. And of course, as Pastor Roger Jimenez mentioned, he holds a special place in my heart as well because he's a norteño and I'm a sureño. And we both get along great. So you don't see that very, very often, all right? Look down at your Bibles at Jeremiah chapter 23. We'll get right into it. Verse 25. It says here, I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the people that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the sea of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell the dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? And the title of the sermon this evening is, what is the chaff to the wheat? What is the chaff to the wheat? Now, when you read the book of Jeremiah and you study the book of Jeremiah, you will quickly see that the book of Jeremiah is a good representation of today, isn't it not? When you observe Christians, you observe pastors and churches, it's kind of like looking into a mirror of some of the things that are taking place today in churches, whether it's Baptist churches, Christian churches, whatever it may be. You see a lot of things that are very similar. Not only for the prophets that are speaking the word of God faithfully, but also because of the false prophets who are not speaking the word of God faithfully, who are lying, right? And the reason for that is because the Bible teaches us that, you know, there's no new thing under the sun. Things that were said before, things that are being said today, false doctrines that were taught today, that are being taught today, are false doctrines that were taught in years past as well. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. It says here, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So when we read the Bible, obviously not just the book of Jeremiah, you read from Genesis to Revelation, everything is relevant to today, is it not? Amen. But specifically when we read this chapter in chapter 23, the modern day application is so akin to what we see today with pastors, so akin to the false prophets and false pastors of today, it's almost as if we're looking into an evaluation of today's churches. Right. We see a distinction between God's man and the devil's man. We see a dichotomy of God's man, Jeremiah, and the false prophets. And you'd be foolish to walk away from Jeremiah 23 and say, well, these people are the same person. You know, the false prophets and the God's man, the real prophet, they're very similar. There's not really a distinction between the two. You see a vast distinction between the two. They're very much different from one another. You know, and throughout the centuries, the distinction between these two people groups have been so obvious, all you have to do is observe which group is loved the most and which group is hated the most. And that's how you can tell who's the real prophet of God. Now look, I'm not saying that, you know, the pastors who are preaching the word of God are going to be hated by everyone. Obviously, we have pastors and we have people who we admire, we love, and there's a remnant of people who believe right and they love the man of God. But far and wide, the vast majority of the world will hate that man. The vast majority of the world will hate the person who's preaching the word of God. And guess what? The vast majority of the world will love the Joel Osteens of this world. I mean, how many people have you talked to? We're just like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I love Joel Osteen. Oh, he's so good. Yeah, everyone. The vast majority of them. The Bible says in John 15, verse 18, don't let this discourage you because it says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. You know what that means? You're in good company, amen?
Amen.
If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So you know what? When we see the slanders and the threatenings and all these things that people want to say against the men of God, the prophets of God, the Jeremiahs of today, hey, it's okay. You know why? Because that means that we're in good company with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What is the chaff to the wheat? Well, the chaff is often the preacher whom everyone loves, and the wheat are those whom everyone hates. You know, there's a lot of independent fundamental Baptists out there, but the reality is some of them are chaff, and some of them are the wheat. You know, I hate it when people make comments and they lump us together with Catholics. Oh, you Christians, you know, you're Christians, and this Christian did, you know, these priests. It's like, whoa, hold on a second. Catholics are not Christian. Well, you know, I'm talking about, you know, you don't believe in celebrating birthdays and anti-blood transfusion. Well, hold on a second. That's a Jehovah's Witness. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, I should correct myself. We're the true Jehovah's Witnesses. Amen. Yeah, but you guys in your street preaching, I'm not Ray Comfort.
Amen.
Ray Comfort is a wicked false prophet who uploads these fake soul winning videos and just tries to just demean people in the streets and make them look stupid just so he can look good. But they try to lump us in with those kind of people, don't they? We're not Mormons. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. Hey, we're not Victory Outreach either.
Amen.
Victory Outreach, they're not Christians.
Amen.
Oh, you know, but they have Christian on their website. And these people are wicked. Now look, obviously there's people within the Jehovah's Witnesses that are misled. Obviously there's people who maybe were taught, have parents who are Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, you know, who are misled. But the vast majority of those, the ones who are actually leading these groups, they're wicked. Okay. I'm not saying just Christians. I'm not just saying, just Christians just in general. I'm just saying like you independent fundamental Baptists. You guys are like a cult. You guys teach weird stuff. You guys have some strange teaching. Hey, we're not from the Ruckman crowd. You're thinking of Gene Kim. Yeah, he's weird. Him and his hollow earth alien and all these strange doctrines, his little, you know, oh, I just, you know, I just. Who listens to that? That's not us. Don't lump me in with these weirdos. Just because they claim to be an independent fundamental Baptist doesn't mean that they are. These are the Ruckmanites, the hyper dipsticks, who need a washboard every time they teach the Word of God. Okay, all right. Well, you knew IFB. You know, you guys are like liberals and stuff like that. No, you're thinking of Josh Tice. You're thinking of Pastor Polka Dot and all the other soy boys. These weakling pastors where, you know, they tear their jeans before they come into church. They shave off one side. Their wife shaves off one side of her head. They sit on a bar stool. They got the purple light. They get their eyebrows done. That's not us. Those are some flamboyant fags is what they are. But they call themselves New IFB, but they're not. They're the chaff. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they're the chaff. Victory Outreach, that's the chaff. The Hyper Dipsticks, that's the chaff. We need to draw the line. You know, people often say, well, you guys are so critical. No, it's just that we're making a line is what we're doing. We're showing the difference, the distinction between that which is the chaff and that which is the wheat. Because we don't want people to get confused. We don't want people to be misled. We want them to know what is biblical Christianity and what is not.
Amen.
Drawing the line just shows you this is what God says to do. And that shows you what God tells you not to do. There is a difference. We have to explain what the chaff is to the wheat. There's a vast difference between our preaching and theirs. The difference is so distinct in some cases, it's like comparing a Super Soaker to an AK-47. You compare the new IFB, you know, the soy boys, to the men, the preaching is different. You know, it's like 99-cent Jack tacos. Sorry if I offended some of you out there who just had that last night after the Red Hot. It's like comparing that to filet mignon. It's like tofu to real meat. It's like the chaff to the wheat. Go with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. What is chaff? Well, when you thresh wheat, you loosen the edible part of grain from the husks and straw. You separate it. And that which is the chaff is that which is worthless, that which is refused, that which is rejected, that which is reprobate. That's what it is. So when the Bible talks about the chaff to the wheat, he's saying that which is valuable and that which is not. That which is accepted and that which is rejected. That which is of God and that which is of the devil. God is drawing the line. He's saying, what is the chaff to the wheat? And he gives some specific distinctions between the two. Now, first of all, what is grain? Well, grain, is, on the other hand, is just something that's valuable and little, something that can be used for meal, for food. Look at Mark 4, verse 30. It says, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. You know, doesn't that sound like biblical Christianity right there? Amen. Because the mustard seed is the one that no one really pays attention to. It's the less, it's the least of than all the seeds that be in the earth. Look at the history books. Do you think you're going to see a biblical Christian in a history book? Absolutely not. Why? Because they're the mustard seeds. They're the smallest ones. They're the ones that don't get recognized by the world but are recognized of God. Say, when will we know who those people are? Well, let's keep continue reading. Verse 32. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. You know, in the resurrection, we will see these greater herbs, these greater trees, right? Amen. The seeds that were sown, referring to the better resurrection that we're going to get. Tonight, I'm going to take the threshing instrument of God's word and thoroughly purge the floor and show you from Jeremiah 23 the difference between these two. Oh, we already know this, but you know, we always got to get reminded of that which we have heard in times past, should we not? Lest we forget. We always got to preach the same sermon, just give it a different title, a little different illustration, because you know what? We forget. But you know what? Every generation needs people that draw the line to show you that which is biblical and that which is not. And let me say this, is that in Jeremiah 23, we see a difference between these two, but not based upon how they look. It's based upon how they preach. And obviously, we understand that there's people out there who are saved that are mixed up in doctrine. You know, they believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, or they're Zionists. They love the Jews. And, you know, they may not believe in the reprobate doctrine, but they're saved people. Right? And I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the people who are in charge. I'm talking about the people who are ardently preaching false doctrine. They're the ones who claim to be the independent fundamental Baptists. They're the ones who claim to be the true Christians, but they're not even saved. That's who I'm talking about. The wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, go back to Jeremiah 23, if you would. Let's read the verse again. Look at verse 28. It says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell the dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Look at verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire? So what is the first thing that he says here? Well, preaching from the wheat purges, whereas preaching from the chaff dilutes. Let me say that again. Preaching from the wheat purges. That's what fire does. It purges, whereas the preaching from the chaff dilutes is what it does. You see, real preaching is likened unto fire. Amen. Why? Because it comes from the Bible, comes from the Word of God. I mean, it's called the Red Hot Preaching Conference. It's not called the Cold Blue Preaching Conference. That's at North Valley Baptist Church. Yeah. That's at Lancaster Baptist Church with the leadership conference. Yeah. Cold blue. Real preaching is fire. Why is that? Well, are you trying to say you're just trying to scold everyone? No. Fire purges. Fire cleans up your life.
Amen.
Hard preaching, fire preaching is not meant to scorch believers. It's meant to purge them from their sin.
Amen.
You see, when we get saved, we don't come batteries included. Right? We come with baggage. That's why it's important that when we get saved, we get into a hellfire, damnation, leather lung Baptist church under some hard preaching to help us clean up our lives and get that fire to clean us up. Get that fire in our soul to clean us up from the bad habits, the bad, habits that we may have in our lives, whatever it may be, or the bad ideologies that we learned growing up, especially if you got saved later on in life. Amen. That's what preaching does. Whereas its counterpart, the chaff preaching, is watered down. And they water down the content of God's word to make it more digestible for you, right? Hey, I heard a sermon. And by the way, you say, well, you're just saying that because we preach on the love of God. I heard a sermon this morning about the love of God, and it was good.
Amen.
That was a biblical sermon on the love
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
Amen? Whereas I heard a lot of, preaching on the love of God back in the day, and most of it is just having to do with tolerance of wicked people.
Yeah.
Tolerance of reprobates. Tolerance of people who shouldn't even be allowed to be in church.
Amen.
That's not love. Yeah. Red hot preaching is meant to clean us up.
Right.
Fire preaching. Isn't that my word? Like as a fire? Doesn't it burn? You know, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, when they ran into Jesus, they fellowshiped with him. And when he left, they said this, his word was within their hearts as a burning fire shut up in his bones. Oh, that's Jeremiah. I can't remember the scripture right now. Then not our hearts burn within us while he opened to us the scriptures, while he walked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's fire. Amen. Diluted preaching doesn't help anybody. I'm sorry. Let me correct that. Diluted preaching helps the pastor. You know, to keep the congregation there, so they can keep paying the bills and be lazy, and just kind of put it on cruise control. You know, that's not God's blessing. That's the pastor's blessing. Go with me if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse number 8. Oh, no, but you're preaching. That's too mean, though. It's far too abrasive. You shouldn't preach like that. You're gonna drive people away. You're gonna scare people from Christ. I see a lot of people here who have not been scared from Christ. Because when you preach fire and you show it from the Bible, guess what? People like that. 2 Corinthians 10:8 says, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Our goal is not to destroy our congregation. It's not to destroy the people that are within our congregation. It's to edify them. But you know what? Edification requires the fire of God's word.
Amen.
Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word.
Amen.
That's what we need. And look, if hard fire preaching bothers you, it's because you probably have sin in your heart. That's probably what it is. If it bothers you, if it feels like the pastor's stepping on your toes, if you feel like the pastor's talking about you, well, he probably is. So what? You probably inspired his sermon. You did something in the service prior that said, I'm going to preach on that on Sunday. He's preaching on me. Yeah, he probably is. I just did that last Sunday. Yeah, it's probably why he's doing it. So fix it. Correct it. And then we can remain a happy family. Amen. Go back to Jeremiah 23, if you would. You see, fire preaching turns you from your evil ways. Right? And if someone doesn't have fiery preaching, look into the church. If a church is just filled with sin, filled with fornication, there's drunkards, there's people who smoke pot, there's all kinds of looseness in that church, just mark it down. Even though you haven't heard the preaching of God's word from that pulpit, mark it down. There's no fire coming from that pulpit.
Amen.
Why is that? Look at verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Don't we hear that? God's called me. Verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. He's saying, look, if these guys were really sent by me, then they would have stood in my counsel. They would have had the people hearken unto my words. And guess what? The byproduct of that is that people turn from their wicked ways. Amen. But that's not the case here. Therefore, I didn't send them. Right. You know how you know that a man of God has been sent to a people? When the people start turning from their wicked ways. Right. Due to the preaching. Go to Jeremiah 26, if you would. Hold your place there in Jeremiah 23. We need a generation of men to rise up to preach the word of God, to quench not the spirit, to despise not prophesying, the Bible says, to prove all things, hold fast that which is good, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So you know what that means? That the Bible tells us we're supposed to preach hard, but we're supposed to be patient. It says longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Because people in the church are not all at the same spiritual level. You know what? That's not just a command for the pastor. That's the command for the mature Christian within the congregation. When you get impatient with some of the babes in Christ in your church, hey, be long-suffering. Amen. You know, if they don't get the replacement theology right off the bat, don't chew their head off because of it. If they don't get the right reprobate doctrine right off the bat, don't just jump all over them. Love them. Disciple them. Amen. The fire of God's word will teach them. Amen. It'll burn away all those false ideologies. Yep. It'll burn away all the false doctrine. But you know what? Speak the truth in love, obviously, yeah. Right? We need fire preaching because it purges. It's like stripes to the inward parts of the belts. If it doesn't hurt, it's probably because the preaching you've been listening to is making you callous. And you can no longer feel. Look at Jeremiah 26, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. What is he saying? Say it all. Amen. Say it all. Can I use Leviticus? Say it all. Amen. Can I use like Deuteronomy? All of it. Amen. Diminish not a word. Yeah. Why? Because the words of the Lord are pure words. Amen. Yeah. You know, and we need to make sure that we always draw that line. That real preaching from the wheat is fiery. Amen. It purges Christians. It purges churches from sin. You know, people are like, well, you know, my pastor, he preaches pretty hard. You know, James White, he was a hard preacher. Heard that sermon on adultery? Fire. They're like, fire. This is James White's preaching right here. Yeah, I didn't even blow on it, it already blew out. That's James White's preaching. Right here. This is new IFB preaching. Yeah. James, this is John MacArthur preaching right now. Let me get away from the kids. Your kids are going to come home with no eyebrows. This is John MacArthur. This is Pastor Anderson. Right? This is Jeff Durbin. Right? This is Pastor Jimenez. He's not here, is he? There you go. Yeah. That's right. This is Josh Tice. This queer little flamer. This is Brother Mejia. Oops. One more. There you go. I was gonna do Pastor Perry, but it was gonna be bad. It was just not gonna turn on at all. But don't they say, oh no, my pastor's he's a hard preacher. Hard. It burns. It's just fire. And then you come and then you hit them with some doctrine. It's just like, right? And then they, oh, no, no, he's fire. Oh, no, John MacArthur, man, he's fire. Yep. Come again? Real preaching is fire. This is how you know it's real fire preaching. When the pastor's preaching on sin and you feel like he's talking to you and your face just gets red. Little beads of sweat start showing up on your forehead. And you're mad at your wife because you think that she probably said something to the pastor. Right? It's called the Holy Spirit. It's called fire. This is the difference here. Watered-down preaching helps no one. It's watered-down. It dilutes the contents of God's word. Number two, preaching from the wheat unifies believers around the truth. Preaching from the chaff drives people away from the truth. But don't we hear about that? Don't we hear that today about us? The way you guys preach and scream and slobber and foam out the mouth and stuff. The language you guys use, like the KJV language and stuff. You know, that's going to drive people away. That's really going to drive people away. You know, you're going to offend some people and you're going to drive. Well, first of all, we're driving the right people who need to get away from us. It drives the wrong people away, should I say. The wicked people, the reprobates, those are the people who we should drive away. But it actually unifies believers around the truth, does it not? Oh, no, but you guys are just mean, though. Your spirit. You're just too zealous. You're just too, like, biblical. Thank you. By the way, this is why the second generation, this is why they're leaving the old IFB. And it's unfortunate. You know, there's two ways they're going to go. They're either going to go to the liberal, the trendies, as Pastor McMurtry calls them, right? Or they're going to come our way. But the reality is that a lot of the second generation, the younger people, they're leaving the old IFB, and not just the old IFB, other churches as well, by the droves. They're driving their people away. Why? Because they're preaching like the chaff. That's why. Look at Jeremiah 23 and verse number 1. Nuh-uh. It's your preaching that drives people away. You're rude. Hey, though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. Amen. Jeremiah 23 verse 1 says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Now, he's not talking about Jeremiah now, is he? Verse 2, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. You see, he's not talking about Jeremiah. And look, read the book of Jeremiah. Most of his sermons are negative. Yet God comes and says that the other prophets, they're the ones who are driving people away. Well, you know, yeah, but if we become too negative, we're going to offend people. You know, they're just not going to like it. It's just not logical, Brother Mejia. Yeah, but we're not supposed to do that which is logical. We do that which is biblical. And if it's biblical, then we figure out the methods that we do it. Is it logical? Is it feasible? Is it practical? Can we do it? But if it's in the Bible, we do it. No, you're going to scatter the flock the way you preach. You know, the way you foam out the mouth, the language that you use. No, in fact, people are going to stick around because they know that you're real. Amen. And they need the word of God to be real to them. Yep. Right. They need the man of God to get up and slam the pulpit and yell and get mad. Amen. To preach hard on sin, to talk about divorce, to talk about fornication, to rip on the homos. So that when they see you, like, well, I think this guy means business. I think he believes what he's saying. Right. They're not just like falling asleep in church. Yeah. just like bored with the same sermon on Psalm 23. They're still stuck on verse number one for the last 4 weeks. They want to hear it all. They're the ones who are scattering the sheep away. And most of it is because they have a double standard. They preach one thing but do another. It's what you call hypocrisy. Amen. They preach one thing and they do another. And they're not ashamed to show that before their people because they don't care. They're acting like a bunch of hirelings is what they're doing. They're acting like the chaff. This is the difference between the chaff and the wheat. Go down to verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophet that prophesy unto you, that make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So this kind of preaching that they're doing, it makes you vain. It makes you puffed up, makes you empty. Preaching that makes you vain. Go to 2 Timothy. Hold your place there in Jeremiah 23. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is the believe in yourself type sermons. Right? This is the, look, I'm for sermons on, you know, getting over anxiety and depression. These things are good topics, amen? Amen? These are some of the issues that people struggle with. But it gets to a point where it's just like they're just trying to get their people to survive the week. Survive just that Sunday. But, you know, we need to get to a point where we're not just surviving, we're thriving. Amen. We're not just surviving, we're thriving. We're making plans to become successful in life. But they have this Oprah Winfrey, you know, type of ministry. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is what that vain preaching does. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You say, well, how do you know that that's a byproduct of the preaching? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. And look, when I read 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think Christian school. I think Christian school, and I'm not saying that everyone who comes out of a Christian school is a reprobate, but I've met a lot of reprobates who come out of the Christian school. Because they get the truth so much, and they're there because mom sent them, because dad sent them, and they get all this truth, and they reject the gospel. And what happens? Their heart becomes hardened, and they become reprobates. They become lovers of their own selves. But why is that? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Notice that also in chapter 3, it says that they have a form of godliness. Where do you think they learn it from? Yep. Being in church, learning how to play church, being in the Christian school, learning how to look like a Christian, but eventually just denying the faith. From search, turn away, the Bible tells us there. Go back to Jeremiah 23. You know what I hear a lot? Why people are just leaving these churches is because their pastor has taken a strong stance. Strong stance. On the King James? No. On soul winning? No. On right living? No. They're taking a strong stance in supporting the fags. I was going to say the FOMOs. Trying to blend both words together. And you know what? That disgusts people. That disgusts the members of those churches. Look what it says in verse 17. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, he shall have peace. You know, they want to, who's that, what's his name? The new guy, the dipstick who just got found out recently? Charles Lawson, thank you. Charles Lawson, with his red carpet, bring them all in ministry, right? What is he saying to them? Ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall be upon you. No evil shall come upon you, homo. We love you. God loves you. You know, we're by faith alone. We believe in faith alone and everything. But you know what? I know, but with you, it's, you know, you just got to stop becoming homo. Even though I believe it's by faith alone. Peace. You know what? That drives people away. Because they're ministering to people that despise God. And it irks the hearts of those believers within those churches to say, why would you allow that? I have children here. I thought you loved us. I thought you loved the children here. I thought you loved the next generation. And you're going to bring in these filthy pedophiles, these wicked people here, even though you say that you love us? You say peace upon them? Why? And then what happens? They're scattered. But you know what? You get a Pastor Anderson. You get a Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Perry, Pastor McMurtry preaching on the sodomites. I guarantee the people in those churches know that their pastor loves them. Because they're willing to put it all on the line to receive the most criticism, persecutions, and attacks because they love their people. So in spite of the criticism, in spite of the persecutions, in spite of the afflictions, the threatenings, and all the voicemails and emails, they do it anyways because they love their people. And therefore, the people are not scattered. In fact, they unify around the truth. Point number three. So point number one, you know, preaching from the chaff is diluted. Preaching from the wheat is fire, right? Preaching from the chaff drives people away. Preaching from the wheat actually unifies people around the truth. Number three, preaching from the wheat is hard. Preaching from the chaff is soft. I'm telling you, I'm drawing the line right here. I'm just saying, look, this is the difference between the two. Well, I know, you know, this is hard. Of course it's hard, but well, why is it hard preaching, though? What does it mean to be, what does hard mean? It means firm to the touch, unyielding to pressure, and impenetrable. Look at Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? There's times that people come to the church and their hearts are hardened, are they not? They've been hurt, you know, they've been defrauded, they've been delusioned, they've been discouraged, and their heart sometimes gets hard. You know what fixes that? The hammer of God's word. And look, I'm not saying, look, I'm talking about hard preaching that has content from the Bible itself. You know, I've heard some hard preaching with zero Bible. Right? Haven't you? Bunch of ripping, but it's just like no scripture. Or they go to one scripture, you know, and then the rest of it is just the pastor speaking. No comparison of scriptures, right? True preaching is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. It softens the heart of the people who have been hardened by the things of this world. Look at verse 30. It says, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. So what does this mean? Well, here it's showing us that the false prophet, because he's not saved, has to get his Christianese from someone else. They have to get their biblical lingo and biblical truths from someone else. In order to pass off as a sheep, even though they're a wolf, they have to steal the words from their neighbor. He said, what about the wheat? Well, the wheat buys the truth and sells it not. The wheat puts in the work. He pays the price to study the word of God. And he takes full advantage of the Holy Spirit that dwells within him to learn the Bible. Regardless of how many decades it may take to learn it. That's the difference. You know, these hyper dipsticks like Gene Kim, Robert Breaker. There's a movie about that out there somewhere about that. And these guys, more than referencing the Bible, what do? They reference Clarence Larkin. They reference, you know, Peter Ruckman. Yep. They reference all these hyper dipsticks throughout all the ages or whatever. that have taught this false doctrine because they can't get anything from the Bible themselves. They need to steal the words from their neighbors is what they need to do. Whereas, you know, the wheat labors. The wheat rightly devised the word of truth. They studied to show themselves approved unto God in order that their hammer should be hard enough to penetrate, to break in pieces the rock, the Bible says. Go to Psalm 29, if you would. I'm sorry, stay right there. Let's keep reading here. Verse 31. It says, "Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams." By the way, verse 31, I hate when people do that. When they're just like, well, you know, God says, it's like, where? Well, I don't know exactly where. But it's somewhere in there. Where? He saith. Verse 32, "Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord." These are the pastors that want to make it look like they preach hard on sin, but it's actually a really light touch. Yep. Don't do it. Sin is bad. Don't do that. And then when someone's just like, and they're like, "Well, you know, if you do it, you know, I understand." Lightness. Don't do it. It's going to destroy your life. Those of you who are sleeping just woke up, did you not? But it wasn't lightness that woke you up. It was the hammer. Look at Psalm 29 and verse number 4, if you would. Psalm 29 and verse number 4. You say, why do you guys preach so hard? It's because we don't want people to destroy their lives. We've seen what sin does to people. Oh, you guys are just happy to just throw people out if they're fornicators. I'm not happy about that. Right. If we got to do it, we got to do it. Amen. But when I go home, I'm heartbroken. Amen. When I go home, I got a lump in my throat. Because yep. I'm going to miss the brother. Yep. Right. I'm going to miss that person. And I know what's lying ahead for that person in the future. I know they're going to be destroyed by Satan. That hurts, but does that mean we don't use the hammer? Look at Psalm 29, verse 4. "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire." You know what the word of God does? You know what the hammer does? It breaks those dividing walls of false ideologies. It breaks those dividing walls of discouragement and fear. Oh, man, I don't know if I can go out there and preach the gospel. You hear a fiery sermon on soul winning, and you know what it does? I can do it. I believe I can do it. I don't know if I should homeschool. I'm just so scared of doing that. And the fire, the hammer of God's word, breaks that fear, and it causes you to recognize, you know what, maybe we can do this. You know, oh, I don't know if I can show up to church that, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, that's a lot. What am I going to do? The hammer of God's word comes, and it breaks that, and it says, you know what, God will take care of us. We can do it. It tears down the partitions of walls of discouragement, of fear, and it uses God's word to just diminish that. Amen. And it allows you to see, hey, I guess I can do it. Amen. I believe I can do it. Go back to Jeremiah 23, if you would. Preaching from the chaff is very soft. Preaching from the wheat is very hard. Regardless of what you're talking about. Even if it's on the love of God, it's hard. Amen. Even if it's on the grace of God, it's hard. And look, I'm not talking about the decibels of your voice, hard. I'm talking about the fact that you're using the word of God. Amen. Look at verse 32. Number 4, preaching from the wheat profits the people. Preaching from the chaff is worthless. The Bible says in verse 32, "Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. You know, you work all week. You save up money to put in your gas tank. You buy a Bible. You get all dressed up. You do everything. I think Pastor Shelley talked about this. And you come to church, you want to profit from it. And that's what the preaching of the wheat does. It actually profits the people. Why? Because it's using the scriptures. It's using the word of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Right. Chaff preaching is just worthless. Amen. Just doesn't do anything for you. You hear the same thing over and over again. You know, you got Paul Chappell's Sunday school lesson on the grace of God, 32 lessons repeating the same exact thing, 32 different ways. And by the end of it, it's just like, we didn't even go that deep into that. Hey, I'm thankful for the pastors in our movement. They go deep on some subjects. They go down deep, and they don't come up dry. They come up soaking wet. They go deep on some subjects, amen? Pastor Jimenez preached through the book of Leviticus. Not boring. Preaching through the book of Ezekiel. Not boring. Pastor Anderson preached through the book of Jeremiah. Preaching through the book of Exodus. Not boring. Like, oh, that's like Old Testament, you know? Most people, when they come to church, when they come to a new IP church, we haven't turned to the Old Testament book. They'll like flip over and they'll go, hey, there's words on this page. And praise the Lord for that. Amen. I'm thankful for the pastors in our movement that are not afraid to touch the books of the Old Testament. Because haven't you read the Bible and you're just like, man, I wonder what this means in the Old Testament. You know, I wonder what a sermon or a series would be like on this book. And once you hear it, it's like, wow, that was profitable. That was profitable. I'm going to skip some things here because I'm out of time. Here's the last one. Go to Matthew 13. What is the chaff to the wheat? And look, there's people out there who still don't know the difference for some reason. As you know, he that is ignorant, let him be ignorant still, right? But one day, people will know the difference. They may not know the difference now, but one day, they will know the difference. Why? Because the wheat will be gathered into the barns to shine forever, whereas the chaff will be gathered into bundles to be burned. Amen. And at that point, there's no question. Amen. Who's the chaff and who's the wheat? Right. Look at Matthew 13, verse 24. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, would thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And at that point, we'll know who's who. So how am I supposed to apply this sermon, though, Brother Mejia? You know, I know the difference. I know what the difference is. I've heard sermons like this before. How do I apply this to my life? Well, this is how you apply it. Remember this, that every generation needs to do their part in clarifying that line. Amen. You know, you may be parents. You have children. You make sure you make that distinction very clear to the next generation. Because you're not going to be here forever. Yep. Once you're gone, you're gone. And whatever they learn from you, they will carry for the rest of their lives. Amen. Clarify that line to them. Show them the distinction of that line. Well, I just don't want to come off too radical, too zealous. What you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. Good. If you're ignorant in moderation, your children will be ignorant in excess. We need to make sure that we teach the next generation where to draw the line. That's how you apply it. Well, I'm not married yet. Well, good. You have more time to learn how to draw. So when the time comes, you say, son, here's where we draw the line. Here's where the Bible draws the line. And dad's not going to be here. Dad's not always going to be here. So you need to learn this and get it ingrained in your heart and know the difference between the chaff and the wheat. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I'm thankful for the wheats in my life. The men who have preached to me and even the men in this room who have helped me, Lord. And they've helped me make that distinction. They've helped me clarify that line. I'm so thankful for them. God, I pray that you'd help us as your people to think upon the next generation. It's great to hear sermons like these, but we need to listen to them through the filter of the next generation as well. And recognize that they're the ones who come after us. And they're going to have a new battle to fight, a new war. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to do our due diligence to train them in the ways of the Lord. And we thank you so much. We love you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.